and that joy the world can give it to you, so the world can't take it away. Amen. So it's not conditional. Yes, it is my strength.
To the cross, he said, Lord, if it be possible, let this So in the cup, it's not always good stuff. But as long as God is in the cup with you, you're all right, amen? All right, so tonight, let's make the head vibe. Let's do the check dolly head. Let's go through the door and enter into his presence. Amen. When you get into God's presence, no matter what's happening around you, you will still have
joy.
When you get in God's presence, you still have
joy.
Amen. Because our joy is not dependent upon what's taking place around us or to us. Our joy is just knowing who the Lord is. Aren't you glad you know who God is tonight? Amen. So we're going to start. Well, we're actually going to read in the 25th chapter of Genesis tonight. Amen. You know, it's such a wonderful thing to study God's word. Amen. So I don't know how far we get. I know we have, I think you all have 14 pages of notes, but there's so much in those notes, I don't want to just rush through them. Amen. As I was reading and studying and preparing, there's so much in God's notes that I didn't realize it. And you know what I did? You know what I just found out today? I always thought all the Arabs came from Ishmael. How about you? I don't know. I'm just telling you the truth on me. I just thought all the Arabs came from Ishmael. But guess what? There's a second group of Arabs, as we will see tonight. Amen. For those that know it, you're blessed. Some of us are coming up behind you, so I'm not going to make you raise your hand if you knew it. Amen. But let's start off in this first verse, Genesis chapter 25. Then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua. And Jokshan begat Sheba, and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Ashuram and Lethusim and Lubim. Close to the end. And the sons of Midian, Ephah and Epher and Hanok and Abida and Eldad. All these were the children of Keturah. And Abraham gave all that he had unto. He gave what? All that he had unto Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from his son Isaac while he yet lived eastward unto the east country. Abraham had authority. Abraham said, I'm not going to have no confusion over who's there. So while I'm living, depart. Amen. He had to do that. Abraham needs to come back alive today. And he'll clear up the confusion over in the Middle East, because he already gave the authority to Isaac. And Isaac and Abraham are both fathers of the Hebrews. The Hebrews are the Jews, so the land belongs to the Jews. Come on back, Abraham. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 153 years, which is 175. And Abraham gave up the ghost and died in good old age, an old man full of years, and was gathered unto his people. And his son Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, which is before Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth. There was Abraham buried, and Sarah his wife. Amen. There was something special about that cave. Those concubines would get in the cave. Amen. All of us in the cave were those that were in the patriotic promise covenant. Amen. So we go to our notes now. And I wanted to highlight this before we start. This is Abraham lineage. And we know that Abraham and Hagar had Ishmael. And we see all those countries that are tied to Ishmael. And then Abraham had Isaac. And Isaac had Esau and Jacob, the Edomites, whose southern Jordan came through Esau. And we know that the Jews came through Jacob. And to my surprise, which I did not know, Keturah's son also were Arabs. Amen. So the fight is this. You know, just think, what makes the fight? Because Abraham was the father of them all. Right? So Abraham was the father of all. So they all felt as though, you are no better than me. I got the same right to the land that you have. But the only distinguishing factor is this. God said it. That it, that, how many know it's still the deal? Alright, so I never realized that the Keturah's sons were also part of the Arabs that were conflicting and fighting with the Jews. Amen. I didn't realize that until now. Because I didn't realize that they have formed Iraq, Iran, and part of Saudi Arabia. All of those came as a result of Keturah. So we'll get to that a little later. Amen. Now, some people may accept it and some people may not accept it. But those are the facts. Amen. It used to be, remember the old Mad Men movie? I don't like to refer to movies a lot, but the one guy used to say, just the facts. Right? So tonight we want to deal with just the facts. Amen. Introduction. Abraham, and I took the time to put these numbers in because sometimes we lose sight of what God does in space and time, all right? Because we know that God called Abraham out of the Chaldees when he was 75 years old. We know that Isaac was born after 25 years of the promise. Isaac was born when Abraham was 100 years old. Then after Abraham was 100 years old, and it says when he was 137 years old, Sarah died. So Sarah had to be, Sarah and Abraham enjoyed Isaac for 37 years, okay? And 3 years later, at the age of 140 years, Abraham arranged for the marriage of his son to the prophecy who was Isaac. Jewish historians summed up the remaining 35 years to conclude Abraham's journey with a clear reminder of the distinction that both God and Abraham have made between Isaac, and Isaac is what? The chosen child of Sarah's womb, and the children of Abraham's concubines, and the concubines were Hagar and Keturah. So God made a difference between them, amen? Because Ishmael no longer plays a major role, major part in the ongoing story of Israel, Moses simply lists his offspring and then continues on the story with the story of Isaac. Now we're not going to get to Ishmael and to the breakdown of Isaac tonight, but it's very interesting. You know, sometimes you wonder, do things happen by chance or are they by providence? I believe it's by providence. Because it's just amazing how that Jacob had 12 sons. Ishmael had 12 sons. Right? It's just God lined things up in such a way. So there's the 12 tribes of Israel, then there's the 12 tribes of the Arabs. Right? By chance, I don't think so. I think it's all in God's plan, okay? Some have suggested that because Moses doesn't record all of the extraneous events of the time, that it's therefore not a historical book. This is ludicrous. How many other histories have been recorded by people and empires focusing only on the elements of history that apply to their own viewpoint and primary goals? The Bible, like all other historical books, is telling the factual part of Israel's history. Unlike those secular histories, it is also conveying the spiritual history of all people. Before beginning, we should take a pause and reflect on where we are. This 25th chapter of Genesis is the middle of the book of Genesis, because how many chapters are in Genesis? 50. All right, so we're in the middle right now. All right. The promise God made to Abraham and Sarah by acknowledging the passing on of Abraham, since we have already covered the passing of Sarah. Okay, that's the son of the bones. Genesis 25 begins with the generation of Israel. After all, Genesis is the book of beginning. So now let's go to that first chapter. All right. Now, sometimes my notes are going to seem like they skip and miss because I get too many phone calls, too many interruptions. So when I get there, I forget where I'm at. And then sometimes I go back to read and I say, well, I know I'm supposed to have something there that I left out. All right. So you all just bear with my mistakes. Amen. Keturah. She was a wife, but a better translation would be that she was Abraham's concubine, which we will see in verse 6, and also 1 Chronicles 1:32. Now, the scripture does say that she was his wife, but Chronicles is the book of the history, the Chronicles of Israel. And Chronicles 1:32 reads, now the sons of Keturah, Abraham's concubine, she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shur, the sons of Jokshan, Sheba, and Dedan. And these play a major part, right? Where did Moses flee to when he was fleeing from Pharaoh? To what? Midian, right? So just follow the course. The scripture is just so amazing how everything plays a part. This suggests that she was alive when Sarah was living. Many of the names listed have already been identified with Arab tribes, fulfilling God's promise to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. Keturah's sons helped make up another faction of Arabs. Now, how many of you all knew that? Raise your hand. And I'm going to tell you too, I didn't know it either. All right, I just thought all the Arabs came from Ishmael. All right, but they did. Keturah's son made up another faction. We see that all of Abraham's descendants felt as though he had just as much right to the land of Canaan as Isaac. But God specifically said that Isaac shall possess the gates of his enemies, and in Isaac shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Amen. So when you look at Isaac spiritually, we know who Jerusalem and Palestine belong to. It belongs to Isaac, the Jews. But then when you get down into the politics and the social life, there are issues. But if we ever let God speak, the whole deal will be settled. Can we say amen? Amen. All right, next Genesis 22:17 says, 17 to 18 says, that in blessings I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee, as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall gaze on his enemies. Amen. So we know that no matter what they do, the land belongs to Isaac. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Now, if God intended for them to be blessed in Ishmael and in Keturah's children, he would not have said in thy seed, but in thy seeds. Right? So God singularly shows us, appoints who the blessing is going to come through who? Isaac. So Genesis 25:2 reads, and she bare him Zimran, and his name means musician. Jokshan means snare, and Midian means contention. This is what they all are too. And Midian means strife. And Ishbak means he releases. And Shur means wealth. And Jokshan begat Sheba. All right, Sheba is, we know, we went over this before, means seventh or oath. Like Bathsheba, she's the daughter of an oath or the daughter of seven. And Dedan means low country. And the sons of Dedan were Ashuram, means steps, guided or blessed. And Lushem, hammer. And Lumam, people. And verse 4, and the sons of Medan, Ephah means gloomy darkness. I know I corrected it on mine, but y'all just got to put a speech in there, okay? And Ephah means young animal, and Hanok, dedicated comforter, and Abida, my father knows, and Elder, God has known. All these were the children of Keturah, and Keturah's name means perfume or incense, all right? So I just showed you on the map here the area When Abraham sent his couture sons away from Isaac, everything in that red square is the area that they now are in, or presently are in, and we'll show you as we go what those modern day cities are, as well as shows you right now. It says, I think Sinai, they call that the mouth, or the mouth to the Middle East, is between Africa and Egypt. Midian is now Saudi Arabia. All right. So all of these, Edom is the southwest part of Jordan. So we see that all of Keturah's children became a part of an Arab nation, all right, separate from those of Ishmael, amen? And some are separate and some are also combined. Some Bible scholars have been inclined to criticize Abraham for not taking another wife from his own people. However, Abraham knew that it would be through his son Isaac that God's promise would be fulfilled. So it makes sense that he not seek to compromise Isaac's chosen status by giving his seed to another woman of his own bloodline. Amen. Because we know he told the servant, do not pick a daughter, a wife, from my son Isaac, from among these Canaanite heathen people. Go back to my bloodline. So you think it would be almost hypocritical. Isaac couldn't marry outside, but Abraham could. Right? But Abraham, in his knowledge and wisdom, know if I marry within the bloodline, that seed is going to compete with Isaac. Right? And then if he married within the bloodline, guess what? He could not send them away. So in order for him to be able to send them away, Abraham knew that he had to marry outside of the bloodline. Amen? Do y'all understand that? All of the sons of Keturah became future Arabian tribes and settled in northwest Arabia. Keturah's son became inhabitants of the land of Midian, the Sea of Aqaba, up into Edom, and around the Sinai Peninsula. Some of these names are still found among some of the Arab tribes today. All right, we went over this already, so let's skip this part. We went over it in the beginning. Let's go to Genesis 25, 5, and 6. You'll just go over that. This is just really look at that and compare it to the map that we just went over to show the area. Okay, on the previous page, you can see that. All right, Genesis 25, 5, and 6. And Abraham gave some that he had unto Isaac. He gave what? All that he had to Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubine, which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son, while he yet. Listen, Abraham had power and authority. When Abraham said go, they went. Amen. They realized, remember that Abraham, God said of Abraham, he is a prophet. He represents me. So Abraham knew in his wisdom, I need to separate them now. Amen. So that they don't, when I'm dead, they don't fight with Isaac over the land. That's why I said Abraham needs to come back alive. Because they have forgotten what he's already established. Amen. The lesson learned from God's plan for Isaac is not one of just social supremacy, but one of chosen spiritual intimacy as the election and what? Chosen of God. And I've always loved this scripture, Deuteronomy 7, 6 through 9. He said, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has, talking about the Jews, he has chosen thee to be a special people unto, and that's why they can't understand why the land belongs to the Jews. Because God said you are special. I've chosen you unto myself. So spiritually, if you look at it, you get it. But how many know we got too many naturally fleshly-minded people? And when you look at it through the flesh, you will miss it, and we'll go over that later. Because the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. In the spiritual sense, and also in the sense of the church, the flesh works against the spirit. Amen? Deuteronomy 7, 6, 9 says, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, the Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above. Listen, there ain't nobody else gonna even come close. When it comes to God's chosen people, the Jews, he said he's chosen you above all people that are upon the
face of the earth.
That seals the deal. Well, who said it?
God.
God said you're special. Amen. And how many know that we are now the Israel of God, the church? As Israel was special unto God above all, so is the church. Special to God. But the devil makes us think we're low class. Amen. And we're lowly. We need to recognize our rightful place in God. He said, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. For you are the, he said, you are smallest. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he has sworn unto your, listen, it's nothing the devil, listen to me, for all of us elect the devil to mess with us, and nothing the devil can do to any of us, because God has already sworn to our fathers. And God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he shall repent. If the Lord has spoken it, shall he not do it? And if he said it, shall he not make it good? So what the devil does to the church, right? We got to have the church in here, right? So what the devil does to the church is he make us doubt God, right? And the Bible said without faith it is impossible to please God. So when the devil gets us doubting God's word, then God can't help us. Right? I don't care how bad the situation is. We're supposed to stand on God's word, word and his promises. The Bible said God has not changed. God is the same. God is the most constant anywhere. But the devil gets us to doubt God. The devil gets us to doubt whether God, I know what God said, but if God said it, he will do it. You got to stand on those words, those promises. Amen? So he said, the Lord said it. So if God said it, he will do it because he has sworn unto your fathers. And as the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the land of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. No, not yes. That's why the old time said you got to have what kind of salvation?
No.
He said, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. The Lord, thank you. He's not just a God, but he said, listen, stop letting the devil play in your mind. God is faithful. He is the faithful God which keepeth covenants and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. With them that what? Love him and keep his and his commandments are not grievous. So don't let the devil play in the playground of your mind to make you think God will change his mind. Hey guys, this is exciting. Let me just pull this one up for a minute. Pull up Hebrews 6:18. God is not going to change his mind. God is consistent. If God has promised, shall he not do it? Lord, thank you. You know, so what we need to do, we need to rest in God's promises. The scripture says that by what? To the immutable thing in which it is. That's not right there. If God said it, then God's going to buy. To the immutable thing in which it is impossible for God to tell a lie that we might have. Lord, we don't have to question this. We have a strong consolation. Who have fled for refuge, shall lay hold on thee. Let the hope stay before you. Right? It's immutable. But our emotions will make us miss God's blessings. Just like the Jews are fighting, like the Arabs are fighting the Jews because they caught up in their emotions. Somebody said, we read the book. We ain't got to read the back of the book. They need to go back to the front of the book and realize the Jews win. They can't beat them, amen? So here's the million-dollar question. The million-dollar question, right? If Ishmael, the sons of Keturah, and Isaac all had a Hebrew father, Abraham, because Abraham is the father of the Hebrews, if they all had a father, Abraham, Think about that. They all had stock in Abraham, but only Isaac is a Hebrew. Weren't the others just another branch of Hebrews? How come we don't think of Ishmael and all his descendants, and the son of Keturah and their descendants, the one we refer to as Arabs, instead of as Jews, as Hebrews too? Well, an important principle gets established here, that every Jew and Gentile, we know Gentiles are the non-Jews, the Gentiles will also be the Arabs, need to pay close attention to. It would be good for us to put this into the, what part? The permanent part of our memory banks. While birthrights, that is genealogy, your physical bloodline, establishes your physical identity, your flesh and blood identity, it is the election, the chosen, and declaration of the Lord that establishes your spiritual identity. Your physical identity and your spiritual identity are what? Two separate matters. Are they not? So then the term Hebrew began by denoting much more than simple physical identity. Hebrew also defines a spiritual identity and special. Then he said, I've chosen you not because you're a few, but I've set my love upon you, and you are special unto me. All right, so Hebrews have a special place with God. Let's put it all together now. By God's design, Hebrew was meant to be a term that described a combination of the physical and spiritual attributes of a person. Furthermore, the life of a Hebrew, both physically and spiritually, was to operate on a set of laws and set of what? Laws and promises that God made with the first Hebrew, who was Abraham. A Hebrew's earthly life was to resolve around his spiritual life. Did you get that one? His earthly life. Everything about his earthly life was supposed to be centered or revolved around his spiritual life. Amen. Do you understand that just as a saved individual's life is supposed to
revolve around his
spiritual life? A saved individual's life is supposed to revolve around that. Revolve around what? Their
spiritual life.
And do you know the devil knows that? Yes. So what does he get us to do? Not focus on the spiritual, but focus on the natural. Because we lose our spiritual sensitivity to God when we become carnal minded. Because the carnal mind is enmity with God. And then the scripture said the carnal mind cannot please God. Right? So this is what the devil likes to do. When things start happening around us, we get carnal. Then we cry, Lord, where are you? And God said, if you just come back the way you ought to be, I'll be there. Right? It's like our Bishop G.E. Patterson said, he gave this illustration some years ago for how God has not changed. Said a husband and wife were riding in the car, and I think I told you all this before, right? Y'all might remember it. Husband and wife were riding in the car, and the wife looked at the husband and said, oh, we used to be so loving, so kind. She said, we used to be so close together that nobody could tell it was one person in the car or two. So the husband looked at the wife and said, well, the car hadn't changed. I'm still in my same place. So he said, who moved? Right? He said, I can't move. Although I have to move, I have to get out of the car. So he said, so who moved? God is still in the driver's seat. So my question tonight is, who moved? All right? Y'all can throw that in your blanks and use it some other time. All right? So God has not changed. He is still the same. He's still where he said he would be. All right? All right. So we call these laws and promises that define this overall life of a Hebrew and Abrahamic covenant And later they were expanded and given to Moses, and are now called the Torah of the Law. So even though Isaac was physically of the right stock to be Hebrew, it still took an act of God, an election of God, for him to be declared a Hebrew. Think about it. Ishmael and the sons of Keturah were also physically of the right stock to be a Hebrew, but God did not grant them the necessary. This is the whole separation. Right? It's not the physical, it's not the natural, but it's the spiritual status to be a Hebrews. And the reason that the Arabs sit now is because they have missed the spiritual status. All they're looking at is the physical status. But the spiritual status is what set the Hebrews far above the Arabs. Amen? Therefore, we have with the election of Isaac and the rejection of Ishmael and Keturah's son, an enormous fork in the road. One direction led to the Hebrew, the other led away from the Hebrews. As we start to deal in Genesis 25 with Isaac's twin sons, Jacob and Esau, we're going to see this process and principle repeated yet again. And I didn't want to get too much into this, so we'll deal with it a little bit, but we'll get into it more when we get down further in the 25th chapter. The issue of who would be a chosen inheritor of the rights of the covenant given to Abraham is the crux of the matter. Put another way, between Jacob and Esau, God would declare his chosen to be Hebrew and the other not. Both Jacob and Esau were by all physical evidence born from their Hebrew father, Isaac. By birth, if one went purely by physical definition, then it was seen that both were Hebrews. They were both Hebrew by physical definition. And in a sense, they both were. But no, God would again, by declaration, he separated them. Let us remember that while we could see some physical and genealogical differences between Isaac and Ishmael and Keturah's son, after all, they had different mothers of different nationalities, and so were half-brothers, it was entirely different for Jacob and Esau because they, of course, had the same mother and father. Jacob and Esau were twins physically and genealogically. There was no difference between Jacob and Esau. Their DNA was almost identical because they were twins, right? So how is it that Jacob was elected to be a Hebrew and Esau not? It was by what?
Declaration.
A law of God. God's sovereign decision. That's what the word election means. It's God's decision. Amen. I don't want to say that, I went too late because it's in the scripture. That God chose Jacob over Esau. Jacob would be a Hebrew. Esau was stripped of his right to be called a Hebrew. The only difference between Jacob and Esau was the spiritual difference. And that was brought about purely by the declaration of God. So a lot of times we say, I'm in the same house as you're in, that you're in. Well, has God made a spiritual difference? Right? The spiritual difference is what separates and makes us different. Not the physical. We can all be in the house. But how many of God blessing and using spiritually? Amen? So don't ever forget that. Not the physical, but the spiritual. So to better help us define just what a Hebrew is, we consider a Hebrew is one who has been made a descendant in the lines of the covenant promises given to Abraham. Or in more biblical terminology, a Hebrew is an inheritor of the covenant promise as given to Abraham. If a human being is an inheritor of the covenant promises, then a human being is part of God's what people? God set people aside for himself. And thus, the world was, upon God's covenant with Abraham, divided into two groups. Hebrews, all others being just human beings or Gentiles, okay? Abraham established a line of covenant promise as a declaration of who?
God.
Amen. Sometimes we get confused because God will tell us one thing and man will tell us something else. What about two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to tell a lie? All right, I believe it's in Romans 3:5, said, let God be true. Let who be true?
God.
Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. We need to speak God's word to ourselves. Amen. When difficulties and challenges come in, his word is a lamp to my feet. And it's a what? The Bible said his word is quick and it is. God's word is powerful, so speak, use God's word. Because God can never deny himself, neither can he deny his word. So in the midst of your situation, speak life. Speak God's word. Because in your tongue is the power of life and death. So what you speak is what you become. How you think is what you become. Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so we need to start, we need to change some of the ways that we're thinking. But now I don't want to get off track. Right? Change how you're thinking. Right? Many of us are living our whole life in fear. We talk God, we talk faith, but times something happens, we're shaking to pieces. God, if God be for you, who can be against you?
Yes.
You got to use God's word. So speak it. Amen?
Yes.
When something happens, say, speak it. Because
yes.
God cannot deny himself. And he cannot deny his word. No matter how bad it looks, speak God's word.
Right?
Don't let the devil talk to you. Don't let him whisper in your ear and say, I'm living for God. And God's offering, listen, God loves us so much that he died for us. You think he's going to let the devil mess with us? So the devil, what the devil does is he gets us using reverse psychology. Make us always think God is bad. What is use? I'm giving up. No, you got to speak. Right? You got to act by faith. So a lot of us are living, but our faith is shattered. And then we try to find out, why do I feel so far away from God? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. All right? And so it says, Abraham's son Isaac continued the line of the covenant promise. At the declaration of God. And Abraham's other son Ishmael was excluded, and so were Keturah's sons. They were all excluded. Isaac's son Jacob will continue the line of the covenant promise at the declaration of God, and Isaac's other son Esau would be excluded. And this, I'll read a portion of this, but it just explains the same thing we just went over, okay? So can y'all read that in your spare time so we can keep going for it? It explains how God separated. Let me read it. Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came? Right? We know he came through the seed of Abraham. Who is over all? God bless forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God has taken none effect. For they are not all Israel which are Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Ishmael and Keturah are your children. Y'all ain't in the seed. But in Isaac shall I seed be called. That is, they which are children of the flesh. These are not, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by word, even by our father Isaac, for the children. The children weren't yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to thee. Listen, as long as you're in the election, don't worry about the thing. God has your back. Might stand, not a word, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder. shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I. And just think, who's the firstborn, Ishmael or Isaac?
Ishmael.
But the older was going to serve the younger. Right? This is just a pattern. Right? Ishmael served Isaac. Esau served Jacob. Now, one thing Jesus said, sometimes the first shall be last. Right? Because God sets order. We don't set the order. Who sets the order? God sets the order. Amen? It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that, it's not by your will. It's not by willpower. Not of him that runneth, but of God. Right? So whatever it is of God. Amen. That's why in many of our situations, we need to make sure we incorporate God. When we're going through challenges, don't leave God out. That's when you need God the most. Amen. Of God. God can do what nobody else can do. But as we will see in a couple more chapters from Jacob forward, all descendants of Jacob would be called Hebrew. No more exclusion and no more election by the declaration of God. Beginning with Jacob's offspring, one was not a Hebrew by law. If one was physically born to a Hebrew, that person was? Period. No questions asked. But even more, if one who was not born a Hebrew, that is, he was a Gentile, non-Jew, if that Gentile wanted to become part of the Hebrew people, it was allowed by means of some rules, laws that had been set down by man. Right? God said, if you want to get in my family, you got to come by my rules. Right? Just like a lot of people trying to get in church, but they're not going by his rules. The law has established order. No wonder the scripture, I think it's in 1 Corinthians, it's either, yes, 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, let everything be done out. God is a God of order. So God said, I will tell you how to get into the family, and you can't do it your way, but you have to do it God's way. Are you getting the picture now? I certainly hope so, because this applies to you, me, and everyone who lives on this earth, planet. All of what I've been explaining sets up the pattern for how one becomes part of God's people. So how one comes to be called part of God's set apart people, the chosen, the Hebrew, who eventually became called the Israelites, occurs by means of a number of sequential forks in the road. It started with Abraham's fork, then Isaac's fork, and then Jacob's fork. And it has stayed that way for about 1800 years. 18 centuries after Jacob was going to find yet another fork in the road, it's called the New Covenant, which also is the New Testament. And the New Covenant is an Old Testament prophecy about a time when these physical covenants and laws of the Hebrews, which are called the Torah, will be written spiritually. But what are they going to be written at? In certain men's heart. Right? 1800 years later. Not all men's heart, just those who were elected and declared by God to be his. The scripture says, in the day that I make up my jewels, God said, you will be mine. The scripture says, they that feared the law speak often one to another. Right? What? About the word of God. They encourage each other, not about foolishness and mess. Right? They that feared the Lord speak often one to another, and the Bible said, the Lord hearkened. And a book of remembrance was written. And God said, because you honored me and you did what I was supposed to do, and the day that I make up my jewels, he said, you'll be mine. Amen? All right, let's keep going. That ain't in the text, but I just thought I'd throw it out there for no charge. You don't even have to Now all men's hearts just those who were elected and declared by God to be his. And the way this would happen would be by means of a, and his name is. And this new fork in the road brings us full circle. This fork brings to fruition that promise of the Abrahamic covenant that all families of the earth will be blessed in Abraham. All those being Gentiles and not Jews, also all those being Jews and not Gentiles, all means all. Further, just who is included under the covenant of the Hebrews once again involves God's election and declaration, and the key to all this is Jesus the Messiah. So this story we're discussing here in Genesis 25 is a story of a crucial division, election, and separation by God, by the God of Israel. It's one that has so many wonderful nuances and establishes so many messianic principles. Unfortunately, time does not permit us to go through them all. Jesus himself said that
many are called.
Many what? Called, but few are chosen. That's Matthew 22:14. Only the chosen have been sanctified and separated for God's use and only the what? Chosen. 2 Timothy 2:19-21 said, nevertheless, the foundation, what God established in the beginning, will not change. I don't care who messes with it, who tampers with it, what they do, it will not change. Amen. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands there. Ain't no doubt. If God's word is standing sure, having this, the foundation has to seal the Lord, knowing them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity is to break God's law willfully. Alright, iniquity is an immoral way of breaking God's law and doing it willingly. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to. But if a man were, listen, wherever you are tonight, listen, Lord, work on purging me, right? Cleanse me. David said, wash me, rinse me, and I shall be clean. Cleanse me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Right? Purging time, it's time to be purged, amen? He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the message you have prepared unto. But you got to be clean for God to use you. All right. Then next week, we just go over this map in fair time. This is a breakdown of Abraham's genealogy. Okay. Let's keep going because we only have a few minutes left and I don't think we'll finish it all, but we'll get as far as we can. All right. Verses 5 and 6. Conferring gifts upon these other sons, then sending them away, and also conferring the estate upon Isaac, ensured that Isaac would be considered as the what? Because he was the only one there. He had sent everybody else away without competition, a threat from his. The steward Eliezer, we went over this in the 24th chapter, had informed Rebekah's relative that all Abraham had saved was Isaac. And that's 24:36, and Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him has he given
all.
You know, so we don't have to question. He's given all. The fact that Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac indicated that Isaac was the principal heir. He said, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir of my son, even with Isaac. That's Genesis 21:10. Alright. Also you can read Genesis 17:18 and later on, a little later if we get far enough, we can go to Galatians 4:28. Okay. Only if he had legally adopted the sons of the concubine by pronouncing my son, my child, would they have inherited his wealth. But unto the sons of the concubine which Abraham had, these were Hagar and Keturah, though they are both called his wives. All right. In Genesis 16 calls Hagar his wife, yet they were really concubine wives. All right, and we can compare 1 Chronicles 1:32, and we compare that with also with Genesis 25:6. Okay. Now the sons of Keturah are Abraham's concubines. Okay, so even though there's a whole lot of debating about concubines, one of the Jewish historians, which I wouldn't invite to this, said really that Keturah was Hagar, just changed her name. Well, they list two separate lineages. Right? So you got to be careful when you study, because they get kind of off track. All right. So they were, as some render the word, concubine wives. They were half wives or secondary ones. Not only they were concubines, but they were never meet up to Sarah's standard. There would never be another Sarah. If they were Sarah, they would be buried in the cave of Machpelah. Right? But because they never received that status that Sarah had, they were nothing more than secondary wives. Okay? Abraham gave gifts, money, gold, and silver, of which he had much. By then it appears that though he had sent Ishmael away without anything, yet he afterwards remembered him and gave him a portion with the rest of the children, with the rest of his children. All right, sending them away, that's pretty much what we went over. All right. Now, we went over this already, while he yet lived. Otherwise, after his death, a separation would not have been easily made, but his authority had weight. When Abraham said go, they went. Right? Remember we went over in the 13th chapter, I believe. I don't know if it's the 13th chapter, no, the 15th or the 16th chapter of maybe a little later than that too. Isaac was born in the 19th chapter. I think in the 20th chapter when Abraham was debating, when Sarah said cast his blood moment out, and Abraham debated. He didn't want to do it. God went to him, he says, cast her out. When Abraham said go, they left. Right? That's the authority that he had. All right? So they went eastward, and we went over that. But this, just for a reference point, to let you know they went east. And like I said, they went to the Midianites. Judges 6:3 says, and so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east. So you know they were in the east. I mean, the scripture just confirms everything that was said. Alright, we'll finish this one section, okay, for tonight. We won't try to get through all of it. We'll finish the rest of verse 6, okay? It says, these sons of the flesh, you can easily see preferential treatment to the son of promise. Even in the spirit, it seems preferential, because the only thing that can get anyone into heaven is through faith in Jesus Christ. These sons of the flesh, the same as sons of the flesh today, would be sent away. Abraham did give them gifts to get them started, but his real blessing was to Isaac. It is interesting that he sent them to the east countries. Much of the fallen condition of the churches today is because of Eastern countries. Influence has infiltrated the church. The flesh and the spirit cannot live together in peace, right? The flesh and the spirit. Remember, Ishmael represented the flesh, and Isaac represented the spirit. Right? It has always been that conflict from the beginning, and it does not change today. Even within our spiritual body, there's a conflict. It's still the flesh and the spirit. Amen. It has not changed. Amen. Galatians 5:17 says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. So the question tonight that we should address ourselves personally and spiritually, in our own private time, is which is winning in our lives. Is it the flesh or is it the spirit? That's important. Because if you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. Only in the spirit. Because the Bible said, if you're in the flesh, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and
peace.
Spiritually minded is life and peace. So the question tonight, if you try to figure out if I'm in the flesh, do you have life and peace? Those are, God has established something from the beginning. Genesis is the book of beginning. As long as you allow the flesh to fight with the spirit. So guess what? We have the authority. We can send the flesh away so that it doesn't conflict with the spirit. Right? Because we are our own people. We are our own person. You do not have to allow your flesh to win. But let's keep moving because I said I'm almost over. All right? These half-brothers of Isaac were sent away so no feuding would occur when Abraham died. Isaac was not to associate with, he was not to associate with flesh. You know, God's word is so consistent. So then he turns around in 2 Corinthians 6 chapter and say, come out from among them, be ye. God wants a separation. Now we have to make that decision. For whatever reason, we have to separate between the flesh and the. But that's my family. God said, yeah, they're your family. He told me, I know. He said, no, I know. Those who have brothers, he said, I'm sending them away because they represent the flesh. Yeah. All right. So we got to learn a lesson. When it comes to. Let me go on the other side so y'all can talk to me. I'm going to go both sides. So I'm saying, when it comes to the flesh and the spirit, you got to start sending the flesh away. Amen? Because if you don't send the flesh away, there's going to be a conflict. There's going to be a feuding. There's going to be an Ishmael in your life. And an Ishmael that's going to constantly battle when you can make the decision. Amen? All right, I'm going to read this last Galatians 4 and then we'll be finished. So y'all don't want to keep getting long winded. Too late? So I say, too late? All right. So Galatians 4 and verse 22 says, for it is written that Abraham had one by
one
and the other by
three more.
When he was of the bond woman was born
after
the flesh. When he of the free woman by promise. Which things are? They're telling the story. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which generated to bondage, which is Hagar. Hagar, it means Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answered to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is Lord, thank you. With Christ, we are free. Even the son set free is
free
indeed. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. The Lord is that spirit. And when the spirit of the Lord is there, it's liberty. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh, it has not changed. We get born after the spirit, that devil will fly. Your flesh will act up. The one of Paul said, I keep on my body. And I bring it, who brings it into subjection? He said, I bring my body into subjection. Lest after I preach to others, I myself become. So the problem we have in church is we want somebody else to bring our body into subjection. You got to bring your own body under subjection. Nevertheless, what says the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Thank God for that. With Lord willing, we'll pick up next week from verse 7. Do we have any questions? Any comments? Amen. I'm not advertising for you to comment, but if you have comments, any questions, No, but like I said, it's just amazing. Like I said, I never knew it was two separate groups of Arabs. I never knew it to actually start really studying. So, you know, it's such a blessing in studying God's Word. In God's Word, it's not a blessing for revelation, but a blessing for confirmation. Right? Because God's Word confirms. The scripture said, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning and admonition, that we through patience and faith in the scripture might have hope. Right? So whatever was written aforetime was written for our learning and admonition. Amen. So do we have any questions? Any comments? I give you all a minute to think about it. Okay, if not, let us stand. Do we have anyone that needs prayer?